They are now. I am sure somebody might well be saying, if you were going to play a song on Pukar Bulya by Sean O'Shea, why don't you tell us what it's about? Okay, now I want to cover myself here now. If we go back almost 60 years, I learned every subject in school, Askelia, except for catechism, because, you know, you wouldn't want to get that wrong. And one would imagine that I could keep up, you know, with Sean O'Shea and be able to rattle off, you know, the translation. Okay, I'm not even going to pretend that. But I mean, there is somebody who hails from Cork, and he is as comfortable with the Gaelic language, with the Irish language, as he is with the English. Let me welcome the Consul General of Ireland in New York, Ciarán Madden, born in Cork, Ireland. And Consul Ciarán, you're very welcome indeed to the program.
Good morning, Adrian.
Let me ask you, first of all, about your own career. And you were born in Cork. How did you... get attracted to, or what was it about foreign affairs in Ireland that that tempted you to head in that direction?
Well, I think, like most public servants in any role, it is the idea of public service, first of all, that is the attraction, the idea of trying to do some good, however marginal, however small, however much it is mediated through bureaucracy. The idea of trying to leave things a bit better than you find them. I suppose that's the fundamental motivation. Why foreign affairs? I suppose it seemed exotic. I liked the substance of it. I was studying history and was studying international history and the history of Irish foreign policy. It seemed very interesting and exotic, and the idea of travel seemed very attractive. But I suppose that most things, they look different on the inside than they do from the outside. But it looks good on the inside also.
Now, you, as part, of course, of your career, you were in the thick of it, as they say, of Ireland's, permanent representation of Ireland to the European Union, and an advisor to the Oireachtas Joint Committee on European Affairs. What is your memorable, again, takings and leavings from that role?
I suppose it's been a good 2 years now since I have worked directly on EU issues, and I lived in Brussels and worked there from 1997 to 2000, and my role as an advisor to the EU Affairs Committee of the Oireachtas was in 2002 and 3. So it's a good 2 years. Things have changed a lot. The memory is really that Ireland, in these meetings, is always trying to work towards consensus, always trying to be part of the whole, not in a way that, the union is seen as a good thing for all of us, and if we can make a better union, it's better for Ireland and better for all the other members. Back then, there were only 15 members.
We can't ignore, what many are fearful of, or at least skeptical with respect to where Ireland might find itself as Brexit is going full steam ahead. And again, what level of confidence does the Irish government have with respect to the return of, say, a hard border, of its relationship with Northern Ireland, and indeed of Britain itself? Can you at least... give us a general picture of where that's at the moment with respect to, of course, the Irish government and what it's doing.
Well, I suppose I might take issue with your first phrase that Brexit is going full steam ahead, because, there's still a lack of clarity on the British position going into next week, which is a very important European Council. Mm-hmm. I think Ireland approaches negotiations with reasonable confidence, because I suppose, first of all, the achievement in having the Irish issues and the border and Northern Ireland front-loaded in the divorce part of the discussions from March of last year onwards, And then the consistent engagement by the Taoiseach, by the Tá Áiste, by every member of government with their European counterparts, I think puts us in a relatively good position. Jean-Claude Juncker was in Dublin at the end of this week, just gone, and he again reiterated the support for Ireland's position, support for the backstop. There were similar sentiments being expressed by Donald Tusk, by Guy Verhofstadt, the key negotiator for the European Parliament. So we are in alignment with our European partners and with the European institutions. Next week will be a crucial week, and I don't want to get down into the weeds of the specifics at this point, because there are lots of ongoing discussions.
I'm delighted that you would take issue with respect to, Brexit going full steam ahead. I think it's probably a nervousness with respect to, you know, what looked like it was going to be, you know, a problem for the future, that the actual future and that Brexit is going to happen one way or the other. And I guess that, and since it does affect the island of Ireland, and particularly for Northern Ireland and our relationship with Britain, as devil's advocate, I think did a fairly good job in pointing out that not all is bad, and, you know, it's not an impasse, that if we even go for the last couple of months, Ireland, with the cooperation of the Irish government and the British government and the Northern Ireland, I was going to say Assembly, but even the limbo of the Assembly in Northern Ireland, progress is being made. But it's not in the can yet. As you say,
nothing is in the can. Nothing is in the can yet, as you say, but the Irish position has been very, very clear in respect of Northern Ireland, in respect of the border, in respect of protecting the rights of all the citizens of Northern Ireland. The government has been very, very strong on these positions. And as you say about the question of time, it's a very short journey between June 2016 to March 2019.
I know.
And an awful lot of work has to be done. And maybe not all of that work has been done yet. The Irish government has knuckled down, the civil servants, members of government, the Taoiseach current and past, all knuckled down and got into the weeds on it very, very quickly in a very forceful and positive way. But maybe not everyone has done so.
But, the stories, the fears, the anxiety, those haunting kind of thoughts that come that maybe the European Union isn't that they just might give the rubber stamp to whatever comes up. That is totally wrong, and let's see what happens, and good luck.
Well, it's absolutely wrong. I mean, the messages have been very, very clear from the Commission, from the European Council, and from the Parliament that, you know, they stand with Ireland in these negotiations. There are other issues, of course, but given that the particular position of Northern Ireland means that these issues are at the heart of the discussions, and we do stand firmly with Europe and with Brussels on these issues.
Great. Well, we'll continue indeed to bring the story as it is to our listeners. Consul General Tiarán Madden, history will be made tomorrow, June 24th. And, you know, the Consulate General of Ireland in New York will have a presence in New York City's Pride March for the very first time. I don't want you to respond to this, but I will tell you, and I'm sure most of our listeners will agree, that Ireland, which may or may not suit many people, has been very progressive in terms of human rights, of civil rights, and particularly to the LGBT community. Great reluctance here, and not indeed peculiar to Irish Americans, but there has been a lot of angst with respect to whether the gay community should have any role, you know, in, you know, for instance, the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York and several other areas. Again, that's, you weren't here, but the rest of us were. The humanitarian aspect and Ireland's progression in human and civil rights has a fairly, actually very strong connection to Ireland and America. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Well, I think a couple of things. For one, growing up in Ireland, I grew up in a very different Ireland than we see today, a far more conservative place. And when I was growing up in Ireland, people looked to the US and to New York in particular as a place where people could be themselves. It was kind of a beacon. And I like to think that with the changes that have taken place in Irish society since then, Ireland can similarly be a beacon for others. Tomorrow, we will have approximately 400 people marching behind the consulate banner. We're doing it in partnership with Lavender and Green Alliance, the LGBT rights group. And Lavender and Green will lead us off, and they will be carrying a large tricolour, a large Irish flag, which was hand-stitched by Gilbert Baker, the man who designed originally the rainbow flag that, of course, has become a symbol for LGBT rights and pride globally. So there's a fantastic connection that way. But if I can come back to the point about community, I think community is really at the heart of all of this. I mean, if in the end only LGBT plus people march for their rights, and only women stand up for women's rights, and only people with disabilities stand up for the rights of people with disabilities, that's not a community. That is division. Instead, we need to stand for and with each other. And I think that's really what tomorrow is about.
Consul General Kieran Madden, I just also, first of all, I welcome you very much on the program today. But I think tomorrow we are going to see, as you correctly pointed out, a broadened community, cohesive group of people who, in fact, are not just going to be on the sidelines cheering them on. The organizations, the cultural organizations, the New York Center, Emerald Isle Immigration Center, Ashling, and then a slew of the arts and cultural community are, in fact, very much not just behind this, but a part of it. And we haven't seen that, you know, so this is historic.
But the community is, you know, here in New York, and I'm less than a year here, but the community is fantastic. And of course, like any community, there will be occasional divisions, but ultimately it is coherent and we hang together. And I have here in front of me the list of individuals and organizations marching, and it's just stunning. As you say, the Irish centres, the cultural organizations, a range of business groups, Digital Irish, the Irish Business Organisation, Irish American Bar Association, IIBN, Ireland State Agencies, Enterprise Ireland, Board BIA, Tourism Ireland, but we're all there marching together. I just think it's fantastic, really. And there'll be families marching, young people, old people. It'll be a group of diverse Irish.
Yeah, and again, I think the significance of it, and I think, you know, most of us would be happy that this isn't a group of organizations. A lot of times when we think of the Lavender and Green Alliance and, you know, the 25 years of being shunned, that finally the Irish-American community are not just sitting on the fence, but that this is a very strong, significant group that, in fact, might offset some of the horrific publicity associated, say, with the St. Patrick's Day parade that we get, that we're all a bunch of right-wing conservative Catholics. This does something and brings great message, I think, to New Yorkers, but also to America. That might correct some of the impressions that people have about Irish Americans.
Well, I suppose, I mean, you say it's historic that that the concert will march for the first time in Pride, and it is. But tomorrow, also the 24th of June, is the 25th anniversary of the decriminalisation of homosexuality in Ireland. So that shows exactly how far we have come over that period, much of my adult life.
I might add to that, Constance, sorry for interruption, but I might add to that that it's a very short period of time that we're talking about. You know, we dare not delve into the laws, the rules, the regulations before the 25 years. And again, a lot has happened in the 25 years, but I think Ireland should, be proud of, going back to 25 years, and we shouldn't fluff over it. That was a big move by the Irish state. The decriminalisation of homosexuality.
It was enormous, and I mean, I suppose you know the history of it, but maybe some of the listeners don't. When the legislation was changed, Mary Robinson was the president who signed it into law, but she had been previously, before she became president, an advisor to the campaign to make that change, as had Mary McAleese before her been an advisor to that campaign. So there have been people who were leading this campaign for a very, very long time, affecting important social change. During the week, marking the anniversary, the Taoiseach said, in the context of a wider speech on the issue, he said, "It can be hard to change laws. It can be even harder to change hearts and minds." And yeah. I think he summed up a lot there. I think in Ireland, at last, we've managed to do both.
Yeah. For some of particularly the older generation, again, the hearts, the minds, the head scratching with respect to, other firsts for Ireland and the Irish state. For instance, it was the first country to legalize same-sex marriage by a popular vote. Who would have thunk? But isn't it... to many, I'm sure they're saying, "Wait a minute, is this the Ireland that we assumed would be the last country in the world, to legalize that?" And that's because
even at a very personal level, growing up in Ireland, and a school friend of mine was gay and came out, he was about 19 or 20. And my mother's reaction, which wouldn't be unfamiliar to people of my generation or yours, she said, "Oh, the poor thing."
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of his sexuality, it was because of he was now heading into a more difficult life.
Yeah.
And now we've reached a point where that life doesn't need to be more difficult. They can live their lives happily along with everyone else.
Tell us about, you had mentioned 400. I know that there are many... including the listeners to our program today, is saying, "Well, is this a closed shop? Have they been carefully selected? Is there still an opportunity for those who would like to be part of this historic Irish government-led event of tomorrow? How does one, if they are going and showing support for New York City Pride Parade, what's the procedure there?"
Well, to answer the first question, absolutely, it's not a closed shop. We in the consulate took responsibility for reaching out to the organisations, and Lavender and Green reached out to individuals to see who wanted to participate. We advertised it online, we advertised it in the Irish American media. So very much open. We have a limit on the numbers, but there are still some places left. So if anyone is interested, they should come along to the Irish Repertory Theatre on 22nd Street tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
All
and
right.
Hopefully we'll have enough wristbands. You can't march this year without having a wristband. It's
right.
A crowd management issue, as far as I know. But we hopefully have enough wristbands left for anyone else who would like to come along. And we'll have T-shirts and flags. And hopefully we can make a big splash in the Pride Parade for Ireland at the Irish American community here in New York.
Again, it's a great advance, and I'm sure that many will maybe not even go along with this. Maybe many will be second guessing. Maybe many might say. The advancement, and particularly the latest development in Ireland, where 2/3 of the electorate, approved abortion in Ireland. Many will again say that when it comes to human rights and civil rights, we've come from stagnation to, tremendous progress. And tomorrow is yet another forward step that highlights not only inclusivity, but that this is a government initiative, and we indeed should congratulate the Irish government for that move.
Well, I mean, as you say, there may be those who will second-guess themselves, and we've been talking a lot about firsts. And this is the first time we'll march. But, of course, there'll be a second, third, fourth, and fifth time as well. So some people think it's not for them this year. Maybe they might consider it for next year or the year after. And hopefully we'll broaden our tent even further in the years ahead.
Yeah.
Can I take a liberty, Adrian, while I'm on, pulling this together has been a mountain of work. And between Lavender and Green and the team, Brendan Fay and all of those involved there, and my colleagues in the council, it's been a mountain of work. So I just want to say a thank you to them, because hopefully it looks great tomorrow, but the swan has been paddling frantically below the water. I just want to make sure that I take the opportunity to thank them.
And rightly so. And again, it does go to prove that community effort is so important. It always was. And particularly in the Irish community, when we got together, the strength in numbers. And tomorrow might be, for some, a controversial issue. Reality has set in. And this is the way, that we move forward. And I think it is a great tribute to Ireland, to the Irish government, in taking, this issue by the scruff of the neck, and I want to again congratulate you and the Irish government, and yes, every organization that has stepped up to the plate for what is the next step in maybe advancing and correcting some of the images that indeed have affected the New York St. Patrick's Day parade and beyond.
But I look forward to a great community day tomorrow, and that's what it'll be, a real community representation coming together.
Constance Jenner, Kieran Madden. By the way, the website and the information, let's get that out there. Or should one at this stage, on the eve of this, show up at the Irish Repertory Theatre?
At this point, it is turn up with the doors of the Irish Repertory Theatre. They very kindly allowed us to use it as our staging post, and the people turn up there at 11 a.m. tomorrow. They get, hopefully we have enough wristbands and paraphernalia for everybody, and then they can go walk and get a cup of coffee and rejoin us at 1 p.m. at the assembly point, which we will give them the details there on arrival.
Yeah, and the assembly point again, that's all in the same area. The route, all that information.
We will have maps, we will have all the information for anyone who turns up tomorrow, and hopefully we can accommodate the remaining stragglers who want to participate.
Thank you, Consul General Kieran Madden, and you weren't around to give me a hand when Sean O'Shea was singing on Pucker Bullia, and I thought that I had, moderate, maybe left over traces of Gaeilge, of the Irish language. But then again, I'm from Mayo, and you fellas down there with the Munster Irish, God forgive us, but I tell you, it's like a language unto itself. And you don't have to defend that. You're a Cork.
No, but well, he also sings at great speed. I can get the chorus, but once you go into the verses, he leaves me behind entirely.
But again, and he just passed away recently, a great singer and a great proponent, not only of music, but of the Irish language through music. Anyway, listen, I'm going to play you out here, Consul, with a song that doesn't require any lyrics at all. The Boys from the Country Cork. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Adrian. Talk to you soon.
All right, God bless.